I want to first talk about a lot of people asking why in the heck would I exist even under the same roof, whether I'm around the same person or Eric acting like that. I want to explain the situation. I asked him a year ago. I did a legal separation. I had enough. I talked to an attorney. We went through everything over the phone. We had no expiration on a legal separation because we knew we were in a unique situation because I had issues going on with my health. I still do. I had to quit working at that point. And when you have to rely on somebody else, you get married to them and you don't think that you get married to somebody and they end up, you realize you don't even know the person. You're marrying a stranger, basically. We had no expiration on legal separation. We were ready to file the final of everything and the attorney said, hold off. And this is a domestic violence attorney. And they said, don't do anything yet because I think we're going to have some time. Because I don't think this is going to stop. I think it's going to, when everything goes to court, it's going to really stick. There's going to be a lot of issues and I'm going to make sure the next woman, the next person never has to deal with something like this because I'm not first on the rodeo, let's just say. But I asked Eric to leave. At that point, I was also working with another attorney with family law as a divorce attorney within the county. And they told me, as an attorney in Indiana, but you know, nationwide, if he is on the deed title or has any set interest to the property, even going through divorce separation agreement, is he still entitled to stay at the property? You can't kick him out unless you have valid reason. He needs to obviously leave it, making the house a very toxic, not good situation. I fell under that. So I asked him to leave. I said, listen, you need to leave. It got crazy at the end. I ripped the sheet off the hook on a wall. I was holding a water bottle, grabbed it on my hand, squeezed it real hard. I took pictures of all the stuff. Same individual told him to come back to the property when he decided he was going to just permanently abandon me. Changed his phone number like that, went to phone carrier. Yeah, you knew about that too. This person knew about everything. They didn't care. They didn't care. My opinion, I think they enjoyed watching me struggle and suffer. And not just through this. And I'm just saying it. I'm entitled to my opinion. I don't see it any other way. I just look at things logically now with the trauma therapist. I'm looking at things in the real for what they are, a long period of time. But when he had contacted me and I knew the attorney and Eric was demanding to come back to the house, it's my house too, I had talked to an attorney about it with family law and they said, yes, he is right. He's been gone a long time. Yes, he came back to the house. I have to take care of the animals. He was not taking care of the house. Eric always blamed the fellow army brothers, whatever they call it, their National Guard. He would blame them when he let them stay at his house before I knew him. But during the point I met them, he blamed the unkept house and one of the guy's girlfriends would come over and clean. I was stupid enough. I'll never do that again, but I'm realizing my behavior, my own behavior. I would go over and vacuum the house. Once a week. He blamed it on everybody else, but I realized Eric's the one unkept, just doesn't care. Okay. Entitled to my opinion based off what I've lived with. I told him, I said, listen, you can't leave the house like that. You can't act crazy. I told you to leave. You need to get counseling and get help and you need to change. You who sat there and told him to come back and I told you why I asked him to leave and you sat there. And you want to decide with the person that has, I mean, other issues, Brady Bill, things like that going on. And you want to decide. You have a track record of siding with people that aren't okay, that do things that are not okay towards women. You may want to look at why you do that. I suggest you need to counsel yourself. Long overdue. It's not okay. Anytime you hear about somebody going through anything domestic or anything, whether it's verbal, physical, emotional, whatever, financial, you side with the guilty. And I don't get it, and nobody else does, but you may want to talk to somebody about that, because that's twisted. That's not okay. Period. Not okay. No. Not okay. Especially you being a woman. Definitely not okay. These podcasts, I hope, I'm going to say this, I can't say it again, hopefully help any of the young ladies or women out there, you're going through domestic stuff, to know you're not alone, first of all, and that there is a way out. And sometimes it takes time, because you may be in a situation like me where you had to quit your job because of your health. You went through oncology. you never went to remission, your condition progresses, you're under care, I'm all that, you know? And now you have to gamble all your benefits and everything so you can become an entrepreneur, but this time go all out to have a far better life, any type of better life at this point. You know, it's a gamble, it's a risk. And I have to go through multiple hearings for this, not a joke. But when I asked him to come back, he said, yeah, I'll come back, and I promise I won't. And I said, Eric, you know, if you start acting crazy and stuff again, it's not going to work, you know? Once again, everything's fine, and then the crazy started. And it wasn't like all at once. It was a slow crazy, like when I got married to him. That's the truth. People asked me why I didn't call the cops and things. Many times you had the right to, you had the evidence. Because if I called the cops, he told me, if you call the cops, I'll call the cops on you and I'll get you in trouble. I didn't do anything. I don't care. I'll still get you in trouble. This is somebody who's already done that. Has a Brady bill on the record for doing that to somebody else. I already knew that from domestic violence attorney. That was real possibility it's going to happen. And that's why you watch everything like a hawk yourself. You document, you do, you know, you protect yourself. You know, there's common sense things you have to do, and there's things that you would never thought you'd have to do, like locking everything up, video recording, audio. You know, you do what you got to do to feel safe, because you can't physically kick somebody out when they have said interest of property, and any attorney will tell you that. But there are situations where you ask a person to leave. If I would have called the cops ever on him, he was basically going to turn me into and do the same thing to me as he did to somebody else. That was before me. And I got to read transcripts, so I know how that went down. So I knew I had to build planks and, you know, build that rescue ship on my own. And it's taken me this long. It's not been since the marriage, although there was some flags in the beginning. Calling me a B-I-T-C-H after the first year we got married when I was having a vow renewal. I was going to have it at a winner's circle on a horse track and in downtown Indianapolis, and called me a BITCH. I canceled everything. I withheld the deposit. I wasn't going to do a vow renewal in front of family and friends and somebody say that to me. That was a sign of domestic right there. As I was told by a domestic violence attorney, that was your sign. But it was slow. It wasn't all at once. And then strange things, manipulation, controlling behavior. A lot of it is, you know, I talk about narcissistic personality disorder as part of it. When someone is very controlling and they do manipulation games, they are, as domestic violence attorney kind of briefed me, and then I had forward information to those that could help me to understand what I was going through. It's part of the control, it's part of the charm. You're not going to leave, you know, I'm not going to have you, but nobody else is. I'm going to make your life hell. If I do anything, I'm going to bring you down to hell with me. You know, I told him, yeah, you can come back. I didn't really have a choice in the matter, but I was like, listen, you need to do your thing. Don't act crazy and stuff. Get conversation limited, blah, 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 blah. And did, but then things started getting crazy again. And that's when I was at the point like, listen, you know, I'm going to have to get out of this. I asked two individuals to sign just a grant form that an organization helped me to help women that are going through domestic issues that are dealing with health. They had to quit their job and that, and help them with the grant. And I didn't even get to the point of even explaining the full thing about what the organization is doing. And it became an argument on the party side. The two people I asked to help just sign a piece of paper. This wasn't mortgage, wasn't asking to pay for house. They didn't want to do it. They didn't give me a chance. A third party, I guess, got a phone call or knew what was going on, and they didn't really know the full story. As trauma therapist said, you can't blame them because they weren't being told the honest truth what was going on. But I think they understand, and hopefully, as he said at this point, that they should have signed that form, and this wasn't a mortgage or anything. They just didn't know really the full story that's going on. And they truly believe in their heart of hearts, trauma therapist, is their party individual, has no idea really what has been transpiring going on. They're being misled, as he feels strongly, or there wouldn't have been things that had happened to you, Kim, if they really knew what was going on. But sometimes, you know, you deal through things, deal with behavior in men that are disrespectful in situations and environments and things that aren't healthy. And you start this stuff at a young age, and that it's a learned behavior. You don't realize it till you get to become adult, an older adult. And then when you sit down with a therapist, and trauma therapists are especially therapists, there's not a lot of them out there. Had a couple people say they're really hard to find. They are. You have to really go through a referral process and go through your psychologist. Some people see a psychiatrist for depression and stuff. If they feel that you need to see a trauma therapist because you've gone through a lifetime of things and your decisions in that are being affected by what you've learned behavior or things you've gone through when you're younger in that. If you're an oncology patient, of course, they want you to see a psychologist anyway of what you're going through, depending what your cancer and your treatment, how invasive it is, and if things didn't work, it's progressed, and you're going through a lot of suffering, which I did. And they will refer you to someone that is a specialist. And sometimes if they feel that you need more, and there's things that have happened, transpired throughout your lifetime, trauma therapist helps in multiple grounds of really horrible things you go through, and you realize you're still going through it because it's a pattern, and you have to realize and understand what you experience throughout your life and make sense of it logically, not emotionally. But that's what happened, and I didn't really have a choice. I have coming back. He was starting to go to attorney if I wouldn't let him access to the house, which is half of his. At that point, I said, we just need to start getting the house together so it can be sold. Then all of a sudden we had the three major windstorms back to back. The shingles literally had 60 mile an hour gusts of wind. It literally lifted every single shingle, no joke. Had to do personal payout on self, and then try to get the insurance to pay for some of it too. A lot of the damage has been, I'd say about 40% have been completed on the house, but there's roofing, whole roof. I mean, we're talking the boards underneath, everything will be stripped out. And like what, a week and a half, July 17th, and then I have excavating. There's some issues and stuff with just, I mean, the whole storm and everything. After that, the house will be completely repaired. Then it can be put up for sale. In the meantime, what I'm explaining is looking for a lease is because obviously with the housing market, I'm going in solo on a mortgage by myself. I do have a friend of mine and they have a property, but they are in a lease and they are looking. And I said, well, why don't you just, if I find somewhere, move in with me, which they agreed. So it's going to be a situation where, you know, we need at least three bedrooms. Once I go through both of my hearings and that and see where I'm at, and I have to get permission through judiciary and that to start working again through federal level. Then I'll start working, so obviously I'll need a home office as well. I did have a very, 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 very kind gentleman get a hold of me this morning regarding an email property. However, the distance, because it is the southern tip of Kentucky, which is right there on the border of Tennessee, I'd asked the person that will be moving with me, and it's a little too far for them because they still have to do a little bit of travel with clients with their job. Also with me, I have to stay close to oncology care. There's not many specialists, oncology specialists, that deal with my unique case. So I cannot go outside the threshold, and I have to physically be at appointments, half e-visit and half physically. I have to be in hospital visits because of testing and routine labs and things that are done every 6 months. It's not going to be physically possible, and with other specialists too, hospital specialists, make that drive. But I greatly appreciated them offering, and they did have a property. It was actually a really nice cabin, but is a very far distance, and when I get past 4-hour drive, it's a little, gonna be a little too much. And for the person moving in, that's a little too far as well. They felt clients. Could it be possible? It could, but you don't know the traffic, as they said either, and I totally agree. So I'm looking for Ohio, Kentucky, Indiana market. If anybody's familiar with the 275 loop, I'm looking for something more so around that loop. Because my specialists in my hospital, doctors and that, are scattered throughout, but they're close to that 275 loop, so that's what I'm looking for. The end goal is selling the house once the repairs have been made from the storm damage, and then put the property for sale, take the proceeds, and that'll have to obviously go to a county judge and sit down with other attorneys that I have, and we figure this all out. anything that's on legal separations, considered spousal maintenance, they will go back and pick every bank account, every transaction, everything which they have, and then they figure out what he has not paid each month, and then that obviously will have to be paid out through proceeds from the house on his end. So the house would get split 50-50. But I'm not there yet because I have to get the storm damage first because there is a live property claim with the insurance company. So for those asking, I felt the need before, you know, how people will create their own fabricated stories and make up whatever they think and don't listen to the horse's mouth. Go straight to the person you ever ask. But just for those asking, that was a situation why I would put myself near somebody like that, especially if they have a Brady bill and prior domestic, is because, first of all, I didn't know who I got married. I married somebody who showed who they were, but that's not who they were. And then things that surfaced with legal issues and matters with the Brady bill, I had no idea. I didn't know until years and years after I was married, but I always knew something wasn't right. Something wasn't right. I just couldn't figure out what the heck it was. Then I started with oncology, and you don't even have time to even think about what it is because now you're dealing with your health and your life. And that's what happened, but there were people who knew. And then there were two individuals who really knew. Majority would say they had a responsibility and duty to tell me who I was getting married to. Not make open-ended statements, which made no sense, but to really tell me. You have to warn somebody, let somebody know. You don't put a woman in, any woman in that situation. I respectfully disagree with them not letting me know, period. But that's what happened. I did, and I was going to do a podcast on this, when I lay back down, I've just not been getting much sleep, and I'm overwhelmed, to say the least, so I'm trying to get myself on reserves and recharge, I always say. I did go on hot pads. I'm working with a realtor I had with Sipsy Klein, but they did not have out-of-state license, so I'm with another realtor firm, and there's not many rental properties as far as rental properties owned by realtors. Which are that work with the realty firm. But I did go on hot pads and Zillow over the last 48 hours. I'm gonna say in the first five hits. I'm gonna tell you about American Homes for Rent. I think it is American Homes for Rent. Do not go and rent any home from American Homes for Rent. The reason I say is things were a little sketchy and weird on a couple properties that I saw. It was the same company, and I realized there's a monopoly of American Homes for Rent, which is a company that owns all of these houses, and a lot of them are foreclosures or whatnot. They charge ridiculous prices. They do not get repairs finished. There is a ton of lawsuits going on against American Homes for Rent. So there's a lot of civil lawsuits. If you go through reviews that are online and people actually put real pictures up, it's not a joke. 1.2 star, 1.8 star, and a slew of Better Business Bureau complaints. As I was told, do not rent from American Homes for Rent. I told and sent an email to my realtor, and they said, oh God, no, I would have told you never. You may want to stay away from them. They got a lot of legal issues going on. I did go through hot pads, and it was the first time I actually had an AI voice. I did not know. I sent this audio to a friend of mine, and I said, is this not the strangest voice you ever heard? And they said, this artificial intelligence voice, that's an AI voice. I said, what are we talking about? So listen to the voice skipping. I said, yeah. That's not a foreigner. That's an AI voice. It literally, when I called, it went directly to, this number doesn't exist, you must text. I text the number, and within 2 seconds, it comes back. Give me your name, your address, all this information. I literally text back and said, needed information on the rental property. It kept repeating it, repeating it. When you called that main number, it was a strange voice about this number does not take calls and you must text. And it's a literally artificial intelligence voice, AI voice. Con artists and scam artists are getting, I mean, that high tech. The economy's bad. The United States and, I mean, elsewhere around the world, people are doing things that are not okay, and they're getting desperate. And I never see anything like it. So hot pads. Careful and be aware. Hot pads, I believe, is just all rentals. I was looking for listings to purchase and rentals. I'm looking at both options, and I didn't have much success, let's just say, in 24 hours on hot pads. So I spent 3 hours and I said, forget it. I try to limit 2-3 hours a day. It's crazy. I should already be in a property, but this is not the time and day and age in society. It's not easy for anybody looking to purchase or even rent. Really, your best luck is to go through your listing agent, but there's a waiting list of people that are like myself that the agents are having to help them get to rentals so they can sell the property. Save the house, the roof over their head first. The other one was Zillow. That was interesting. I literally had to text and find the listing agent. I realized that I thought I saw the same house listed for sale on Zillow that sold and listed for rent on Zillow. I literally took both my phones and screenshot and looked back and I said, oh my God, this is the same house. Then I scrolled down and I realized this house was sold in 2021. They have it listed as for sale, but it sold in 2021. And then on another page with Zillow, because they also have rentals, it was very strange. It was weird. The listing agent was still listed, so the con artists, the scam artists, were using all this information, but they forgot to remove old information. They changed the listing agent's contact information to theirs. When I contacted, the person was acting very strange and bizarre, requesting some really strange stuff. I need a $200 security deposit. That'll go to your application fee. And nobody in the right frame of mind is charging $200 for application fee. I'm going to say this to everybody. There's no regulations or laws in the United States and needs to be in place on regulating this stuff. As people are monopolizing and making money just off of listing and making bogus properties for rent, and there's no regulation or anything over this, and people are just literally just taking deposits and taking application fees. Application fees now are minimum $75 up to like $100. That's average, and that's crazy. So you can't go putting in a million applications on rentals either, I've realized, because you're gonna lose everything you got, and you're giving it to people that are running scams, con artists, and you have businesses that are shady too doing it. I literally had to research, and like within like 2 minutes, I found a listing agent, legit his phone number, and the realty firm he worked for, actually in Kentucky. And lo and behold, I contacted him, text, and I said, listen, this is not strange, or what's going on? They were shocked. They literally texted me back and said, listen, this property I sold to a company in 2021. They still own this property. That's not for sale. I responded back. Okay, well, it's also for rent. They responded back. No, that property is not for rent. That was sort of a company. It's just basically used when people, what's what I'm thinking of? Like Procter & Gamble, GE does this. When people actually have a job and they transfer, what they do is a lot of these companies will buy properties into where when people transfer, like executives, they'll have a house they directly move in. This was one of those properties. So once again, you have con artists and scam artists that are actually utilizing old listings. They're using the realtor's information still, and that they're changing their phone number and putting it to their own. Easy way to get your information and get a security deposit and application fee. That was on Zillow. So let's just say in 72 hours, my faith in rental properties is pretty much about 4%. This is why when you work with an agent, a realtor, they want you to use realtor properties, those within the realtor firm, and each, what is it, broker, I guess, each individual realty office, I guess how it's called. I don't know, I'm not that well versed, but I'm trying to figure out how to always explain. Is it individually owned? You got a broker who owns, you know, this office or multiple, and then they go under the main, you know, like Cipsy Klein, Remax, Coldwell Banker, whatnot. But that's why they want you to work with them to rent one of their properties. But the wait is exceedingly crazy because everybody's in the same situation, like myself. You want to sell the property and you want to get into somewhere temporary rental. If you have to do 12 months, you have to do 12 months. But you want to get and vacate the house first and have a roof over your head before you go putting an offer down on a home. You don't want to put an offer down on a home, not have a rental, a roof over your head, and now you're homeless. You don't want to intentionally do that yourself. Excuse me. So I just wanted to podcast about that because that's literally what I've run into and I'm watching. It's just, you know, Was it as crazy a year ago when the housing market was hot? I don't know. You know, I didn't get to that point. I was just looking for a signature on a grant form, for crying out loud. And the same person who asked Eric to come back 12 years ago, who literally dictated my life and flipped my life in pure hell and back. 12 years I don't get back, and the stuff that I've gone through, I don't think I'll ever forgive them, because it's not the first of secrets and things they've done. And a long, long, long time frame. And it's not okay. And you don't sit back and know somebody's going through hell and back. A behavior of someone is sit there and not give a damn. Especially woman to woman, ladies to ladies, you don't do that. We're supposed to be better than that and protect our fellow, you know, women, ladies, you know, and have each other's back. But when you're just standing back and you're allowing things to happen, you know what's going on, and you have a long track record doing so and keeping secrets and doing things that are not okay, keep your distance from people like that. That's all I gotta say. If you have to continue any type of communication ever, you keep it on a phone line or a internet line. Don't be around people like that. That's not somebody having your best interests at heart. Especially if you know you're struggling and what you're going through, and you're dealing with somebody that's not right, not mentally or anything right, and knowing things they know before you even do, and keeping secrets still, and they continue to do it over and over and over again, and the secrets get worse and worse and worse, because they are. You need to keep yourself distance, you know? It's not okay. But be careful out there when you're looking for listings, especially you ladies, and you know, you have your families and you're on your own, and whether you have children involved too, it makes it worse. It's hard. As like the domestic violence attorney said, it's really hard. It's hard on women going through situations domestic, whether it's physical, mental, emotional, and there's also financial abuse too. It exists. And you have children involved, you have your pets involved. It's hard because it's not easy like it was, you know, even, you know, years and years ago, whether alone 4 years ago, to find a property and to exit gracefully and get the help that you need. Because let's face it, all these organizations now are maxed out, overloaded, overwhelmed, and they don't have the financial, what I'm looking for, donations like they did. Let's face it, everybody's struggling. It's terrible. It's bad. But if anything, a podcast, when I podcast, I want it to be as just not even on wisdom and going through trials and tribulations, first of all, to know you're not alone. But if you can take a little bit of me, a little bit of my story, what I'm going through, and apply it to your life to help you out, and to know that, you know, you're going to get those planks down, you're going to get out of situation. And sometimes, you know, whether it's your health that's holding things back, or, you know, you have children, you have a newborn baby. I talked to someone through social media, through TikTok, that has a 2-month-old baby. And they're escaping domestic violence. And they're literally living in their car. It's not a joke. They're living in their car with a 2-month-old baby. Their husband was the breadwinner. You know, when she got pregnant, she stopped working. And she couldn't get back on her job. And it's just her taking care of her 2-month-old son in a car. It's not a joke. Nothing quite like talking to somebody and literally they're saying, hold on, because there's a strange guy acting weird walking in front of the car. And put my phone down and keep it on speaker. But this is where we're at. Not okay. So ladies, you respect other ladies. Women, you respect other women. When you know people are struggling and they're wanting to get out and they're doing what they can and need and, you know, and with everything they got to get out of a situation, whether it's physical, verbal, emotional, financial abuse, domestic violence is domestic violence, domestic abuse is domestic abuse, period. Manipulation, scare tactics, everything that goes involved. You know, you help another woman out, you help another lady, you help each other out. We help each other out. There's no stabbing and stabbing and stabbing another in the back. From woman to woman, and keeping secrets and doing things that are ill behavior, that are disturbing behavior. It's not okay. But be careful, ladies, you know, when you're already struggling, it's hard, and you're going solo, is conserve your money. Because when I talked to this woman I connected with, she said, you know, it's $75 where I'm at, it's outside of Chicago for every application fee. I don't know if I podcasted about this, but it's not cheap. So you can't just keep paying $75 and get nowhere. Because like she said, you don't get your money back. And some of these places, they don't get back to you at all. So your money's gone. There's no regulations or laws in government in the United States to control all this stuff and from people monopolizing off of application fees and deposits when they're not even a company. They're scam artists, con artists, or you do have companies that are just slimy. Okay, slimy, factual. Be careful out there. Do your research. Before you go put in an application or deposit, research the company, research the property, pull up the address, Google it, search it, take your time before you go filling out anything, and make sure please to research any property, any contact information before you give your own contact information as well, because it doesn't take much to release your name and everything else to somebody who is conning and scam artists and a long criminal record. Because they will take your information and they will use it. And a lot of them will be able to gain bank access just by your personal information and credit cards and that. So I also say is please be careful. But I hope this answers some questions. But most importantly, this helps other women and ladies out there that are struggling. And please know at the end of the day, you're not alone. Research for the help that you need. There's a lot of organizations and groups out there still. Although everybody's strapped on donations and that, there is the emotional support if you don't have it that's there for you for the taking. That you need, please reach out and talk to those that be, whether it's anonymous or someone or counseling, please. Utilize the resources that are there and the tools because they are there. And please, of all means, take care of number one, you.